A Lie and Its Consequences, Chapter 98. Love, peace, and unity reigned in the newly established congregation at Jerusalem. Oh, if this were only the case in our day! The apostles preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great vigor. In former days, when the Lord Jesus spoke about his coming suffering and death, they were always sorrowful and grieved. At that time, they could not understand why it would be necessary. But now the death and resurrection of Christ are the source of great heavenly joy for them. Now they understand perfectly why all this had to happen. Just by his suffering and death, he has merited salvation for the entire church. Before, they could not understand that his humiliating death was necessary, but now they do. They now are wholeheartedly in accord with it, for they have learned to know the risen Christ. Yes, and they have seen their beloved Master ascend into heaven. Jesus has gone before them into eternal glory. They have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they cannot be silent about their Redeemer. Every day they speak freely in the temple, and daily the Lord added to the congregation such as should be saved. People were converted every day. Rich and poor were quickened by the indispensable operation of the Spirit. Yes, the poor as well as the rich were saved. The poor among them must be supported. This also was done in our congregations. Deacons are appointed to care for the poor. In those primitive days, there were no deacons. Therefore, the apostles did this work. But from where did the money come? Sundays in church, we collect money for the poor. This was not done in the congregations at Jerusalem. Nevertheless, the apostles had sufficient money to supply the poor members with their daily needs. From where did all this money come? In those first Christian congregations, the rich shared their abundance with the apostles so they could care for the poor. The rich did this out of love for the poor among God's people. They were not forced to do it. No, they did it voluntarily. The love of God filled the hearts of the rich members of the congregations to such an extent they gladly gave to their poor fellow men. One of these rich men, a certain Barnabas by name, sold a piece of land and brought the entire proceeds to the apostles for them to distribute to those who were in need. This became known in the congregation, and everyone spoke with love and esteem about what Barnabas had done. He was a Levite who did not live in the land of Canaan. He was born on the island of Cyprus, situated in the Mediterranean Sea. Later we will hear more of Barnabas. Meanwhile, remember his name. Two people, a husband and wife, are sitting together in a house in Jerusalem. Do you know their names? Ananias and Sapphira are their names. We do not know whether or not they had any children. They were busy talking together and making plans. What are they talking about? They are talking about what Barnabas had done. Everywhere they hear how the people speak with regard about this God-fearing Levite. Oh, they are desirous to have the people speak about them in the same way. They are jealous of the esteem in which Barnabas is held. They decide that they too can be esteemed, for Ananias also is rich. He has lands and other possessions. Do you know what they decide to do? They will imitate what Barnabas did. They also will sell a piece of land and bring the money to the apostles. Then they too will be praised and honored the same as Barnabas. Do you hear this, boys and girls? Ananias and Sapphira will not do this out of love for the poor among God's people, but they will do it for their own honor and fame. Not the love of God, but wretched, self-loving pride drives them to do this deed. From this it can be seen that even though they did belong to the outward Christian church, and they did not belong to the people of the Lord, they were not converted by the Lord. Ananias leaves his home. What is he going to do? He is going to sell a piece of land. In suspense, his wife awaits his return. It isn't long before he again re-enters his home. He has been successful. Ananias brings home a large sum of money. Undoubtedly, they counted this money over and over again. So much money. Ah, so much, it really is too much to give away. Is it really necessary to give so much? Couldn't they give a little less? This thought enters both their minds. Together they talk about it and look at what they are doing. Ananias takes part of the money he receives and hides it to keep for themselves. The remainder they put into the money bag for Ananias to take to the apostles. He quickly walks down the streets of Jerusalem. His heart throbs with joy, for soon the people will be talking about them. From now on, his name and his wife's name will be honorably mentioned by the congregation. He enters the house where the apostles and some other members of the congregation are gathered. Proudly he walks toward them. I have sold a piece of land, and the proceeds from the same I am giving to the poor. Here it is. You can divide it among those who need it. He says this with an important expression as he sets the bag of money before the apostles. He hopes everyone present will take special notice of it. Probably he looks at each of them with self-satisfaction. It is a nice gift. Surely the apostles will be glad with such a generous gift. They certainly will thank Ananias kindly in the name of the poor. We can expect them to do this, can we not? But this does not happen. Searchingly, Peter fixes his gaze upon Ananias. His face has a stern expression upon it. Ananias, the apostle says seriously, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Oh, how does Peter know this? No one could have told him, for Ananias and his wife are the only ones who know it. It isn't difficult, children. The Lord made it known to Peter. But wasn't Ananias allowed to do this? Wasn't he free to do as he wished to do? Yes, he was. But he should have stated this fact. Ananias lied, not with words, but with his deeds. He wanted to give the impression he gave everything. This was not true. A part of the price still was hidden in his home. Ananias was too greedy to give it all, but he wanted the same honor as though he had given all the money. He was acting the part of a hypocrite. If he had said, "Here you have a part of the selling price," it would have been all right. But what he did was deceitful. Peter frankly tells him, "No one asked you for this money, did he? We didn't force you. You should have told us honestly that this was only part of the money." And then the apostle concludes by saying, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And then, behold, Ananias suddenly falls to the ground, dead. This is the dreadful punishment for his deceit. It becomes very quiet in the room. With horror, everyone sees what has happened. However, the corpse of Ananias cannot remain lying there. A few young men arise and make preparations for its burial. A little later, his dead body is carried to the grave of corruption. God does not permit himself to be mocked. Sapphira waits in her home for her husband's return. In her thoughts, she has gone with him. Surely the apostles were pleasantly surprised. Of course they should be. Besides this, they still have a nice sum of money lying in their drawer. But this is not the concern of any other person. Let the people think it is the full amount. You need not be so precise. Isn't it a generous gift which they are giving? No doubt, these were some of the thoughts which went through her mind. She looks out the window to see whether or not Ananias is returning. No, she cannot see him. An hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours go slowly by. Sapphira really becomes uneasy. Her husband could have been home long ago. What has detained him so long? Has something serious happened to him? At last, she no longer can remain at home. She will go see where he is staying. She leaves her home and hastily goes to the place where she knows the apostles are gathered. She goes inside and immediately sees her husband is not there. Probably she asked if her husband had left long ago because we read in the Word of God that Peter answered her. But Peter does not give her an answer upon her anxious question. "Tell me," Peter asks her, "did you sell the land for so much?" "Oh, why does he ask this? Didn't he know the answer? Didn't the Holy Ghost reveal it to him?" "Yes, indeed, he knows it. But he doesn't know whether or not Ananias lied without his wife's knowledge, or if both were guilty of this deceit. He will inquire about it. Therefore, he puts this question to her personally." Although Sapphira did not expect this question, she answered without a blush, "Yes, for so much." It is as though she says, "That is the full price of the land which we sold." Terrible, isn't it? She also purposely lies to the apostles. "So," Peter says indignantly, "I noticed you and your husband consulted together to deceive us. Why did you tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now that you are guilty also, you shall suffer the same punishment as your husband. I hear the footsteps of the young men who have buried your husband. They are at the door. Because you also have lied, they shall carry you out and bury you as they have buried him." When Sapphira hears these words, she too falls dead upon the ground. The young men who are just entering see this to their great surprise. They have more work to do. Sapphira must be buried. They take her away and lay her in the same grave in which Ananias was buried. They return, deeply impressed about these things. Soon everyone in Jerusalem knows what has happened. Great fear comes upon the entire congregation, and also upon all the other Jews. Ananias and Sapphira had hoped everyone in Jerusalem would talk about them. This did happen. But it takes place in a far different way from what they had expected. They are a warning example for everyone who hears it. so that no one will come to the apostles with lies and deceit. God forcefully exhibited here that he is the avenger of sin. This sad story has a lesson for us, boys and girls. There is such a great deal of lying and deceiving done among us and by us. So much dishonesty and insincerity prevails around us. Do you think God has changed? Not at all. For God never changes. He became angry at the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira, and he still does the same today. God hates lying. He surely will punish every liar. O children, always endeavor to be truthful. Always speak the truth, because the omniscient God in heaven hears and sees everything. May you by grace learn to be honest towards God, honest towards yourself, and honest towards your fellow man. God shall destroy those who speak lies.